Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Verses 1 through 3. After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia! Salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up for ever and ever. In the Revelation chapter number 18, verse number 20, is this call, Rejoice over Babylon, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. In these few verses in the chapter 19, we see the joyful celebration of many people in heaven. Prophets and apostles are people also included here. In the scriptures we read about many victorious celebrations that glorify God with great rejoicing. Let us recall some verses of the ecstatic joy of celebration Moses and Israel experienced on the other side of the Red Sea. In the book of Exodus chapter number 15, verse numbers 1 through 13. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation. I will exalt him, the God of my father. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. In the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sent forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people whom thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. In the book of Psalms, we can read some praises celebrating our God's victory. Psalm number 136 sounds like an echo of the same song of Moses and Israel in celebration after crossing the Red Sea as they glorified Jehovah, the great warrior and victorious deliverer of Israel. Think of the praise from the heart of Daniel in the chapter number 2, verse numbers 19 through 23, when the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Blessed is the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Remember the song of Deborah and Barak in the book of Judges, chapter number 5. Remember Peter's appearance at the prayer meeting in the book of Acts, chapter number 12. First, Rhoda did not open the door for joy of telling the great news. And finally, when the disciples did see him, they were so astonished that it was necessary for Peter to wave his hand to quiet them that they could hear his testimony. Our God's people celebrated our Creator and Savior's many victories over the oppressors of his people. We rejoice in our Lord's deliverances. A dramatic experience happened to many believers in the recent history that reminds me of some moments in the book of Esther. It happened in the beginning of the World War II. It was a great sign of our God. Yugoslavian monarchy was pursuing general mobilization in preparation for the major military confrontation that already started in some parts of the world. Many of believers were risking death by firing squad for resisting active use of military arms. Many among them gave up their loyalty to their faith and were taken with other soldiers to the front line. Some never returned back to their families, and of some there was no voice of their whereabouts. Most likely they died. The believers upholding their faith were all imprisoned and were told by the military officers that their only choice is death squad or to swear allegiance to the king and go to war with full armor. Some 2 weeks later, the king was dead. Short time later, the government escaped before the invading armies. The officers of the foreign military rule received an order from their leaders to release all peaceful religious prisoners. All the believers that were prepared to suffer for our Lord's testimony returned to their families and were spared from suffering and shedding blood in war. Our Lord is mighty to deliver us from danger and afflictions, but He is even mightier to uphold us through suffering and death, as He did with Stephen in the book of Acts. Stephen faced the beastly fury, but our Lord revealed to him the heavenly glory, and he just continued glorifying our Lord in the everlasting celebration and adoration with all others already there, waiting for us. All godly celebrations are glorious. The final one is the most glorious and triumphant. Around our God's throne forever. The words of the heavenly praise are chosen by our Savior's Spirit. Salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments. The same Spirit fills the kingdom in heaven and in the earth, around the throne and in the hearts He indwells. As we consider the words of this praise, we see how they fill our needs down here. They also sound in harmony with the abundance of peace and joy in the everlasting kingdom. First word is Alleluia. Praise our God, the Almighty, the ever-living One. When we are rejoicing in His blessings and provisions, praise Him. When we are suffering afflictions and grave circumstances, praise Him. When Satan by his slaves attacks, praise God. When the professing believers we had confidence in deny our Lord left and right, we praise our Lord with tears and grief. But we should never quit. Just cleave to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our heavenly bridegroom, the love and longing of our soul. Just alleluia, on and on. He is victoriously leading us through faithfulness to His endless revelation. Our Father is the Almighty. Our Master is in power and in charge forever. We see Satan's mystery in the chapter number 17. The entire system is comprised with corruption, decay, and viruses of self-destruction. We see the fall of Babylon in the chapter number 18. No sin escapes our God's judgment. No power of darkness can withstand the light of the truth in Christ. No child of our Father ever lost the battle while walking in the light of the gospel teaching. Victory is in Christ our Lord. Alleluia. The next word is salvation. Abel was saved in his acceptable offering and in his martyrdom. Moses, through Egyptian tyranny, adoption and schooling, through God's call and deliverance. There are many examples, but none is just like our Lord's. We experience His salvation in our separation from the world of darkness and deliverance from the power of sin. In His constant correction of us, comforting, strengthening, and cultivating us until He brings us to the portals of heaven. He is the author and finisher of our faith. We are compassed with a great cloud of witnesses that will glorify Him endlessly. His salvation is unfolding gloriously in His constant victory over Satan here and now, till the last day, and then forever. Our Savior suffered more than we all together, since Adam till the last judgment. And in all of His ministry, He is glorious above the entire host of heaven with all the redeemed. We ascribe salvation to Him and glorify Him forever. The following word is glory. The everlasting glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. His glory did not fade, nor was it tarnished, even when He took our place, the place of fallen humanity under the just and awful judgment of our righteous God. Through thick darkness beams the indestructible glory of the eternal Creator, Savior, and His everlasting gospel. By His death, He defeated ours. We honor Him for His all-glorious, all-honorable beyond expression. We honor Him for His humility on our behalf. We honor Him when He makes us worthy to suffer humility, witnessing His gospel. We honor Him for delivering us from the snare of Satan, the trap of grabbing boastful self-glorification. The only honor we rightfully desire is the honor of honoring Christ Himself. All power is His forever. He manifested the power of our Heavenly Father in Him, the Son. His is the power of creation, the power of salvation, the power to overcome sin, death, Satan and the world in our heart and mind, to make us new creation, His living testimony in the world of sinners. His power moves us to grow in faith and knowledge of God's Son. Hallelujah! His salvation and glory, honor and power are manifested in His gospel proclamation and in His righteous condemnation of Satan and sin. He has judged the great whore in the Garden of Eden, in Cain's sin, in the great flood, in the destruction of Sodom and the other cities of the plain, and in all calamities of every empire in the sinful world's history. He judged the great whore in His suffering on our behalf. He judges all wickedness in our heart, mind, soul, and body. When we receive with gratitude and submission our Lord's correction of our intentions and deeds, we also condemn the great whore. We make a good step in the right direction, and we are on His side. He justifies us in His grace to judge sin. No tear of sincere repentance, no sweat drop of godly laborers, no blood stream of His martyrs is ever lost. All is in Him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The great whore is judged. She corrupted the earth by her fornication. Whoredom and condemnation cannot be separated from one another. As soon as the first couple sinned, their innocence and purity was marred, corrupted. Their Creator, the source of all blessings, they considered a danger. They hid themselves among the trees in the garden. Whoredom is a self-destruction and total disregard of the Creator and of the fellow beings. Sin is corrupting both perpetrators and the victims. Self-condemnation of sin is in the act, in denying guilt and responsibility for sin, in justifying sin and self, in condemning just condemnation, and in repeating sin. Sin corrupts sinner's mind, heart, soul, and body. Sinner cannot deliver himself ever. Sin corrupts the environment, past memories, and future generations. Sin is a terminal cancer of human life now and forever. Condemnation of sin is a fundamental part of righteousness and justice. Tolerance of sin is unrighteous and unjust. In judging and condemning sin, we must not use any of the manners and deeds our adversary is using, lies and hypocrisy. We are safe and faithful when we follow our God's guidance and commandments in sin condemnation. When our Savior was suffering for our redemption, the slaves of darkness might have thought that they were winning. But our Heavenly Father gave the signs of victory. Darkness covered the earth. Temple veil was rent. Centurion confessed, and Joseph came. Gospel according to Mark chapter number 15, verse numbers 33 through 43. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 23, verse number 48, the people show dramatic signs of regret. Through the suffering of the Lamb, the mighty empire of Satan is crumbling. When we suffer for our Savior's testimony, although the slaves of darkness think that we are losing the battle, our Heavenly Father continues His marvelous work and the evil empire is shaking, falling apart. Our humble and brave following our Master in godly life, fervent labor, true suffering and martyrdom is our condemnation of evil and confirmation of our God's righteous judgment. How many times through the history our God's displeasure with tyrannical reign and persecution had been manifested in violent collapse of evil domains and rulers. In the end, none of them will survive. But the great condemnation and judgment is here foretold against Satan, Babylon, that great whore, their beasts, monsters, false prophets, and ruling executioners that were drunk with the blood of the saints. Their smoke will rise forever as an awful testimony against Satan's wickedness and God's perfect righteousness. In the first verse, much people in heaven shout, Hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God. In the second verse is the reason for their rejoicing in this part of the revelation. True and righteous are His judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. In the third verse, their hallelujah is repeated, adding, Babylon's judgment smoke rises up forever and ever. The true nature of the heavenly beings and the new nature of the heavenly-minded people of our God are visible between the two hallelujah exclamations. We trust our Lord's righteousness before his judgments are completely executed. After the final execution of the just judgment, we have the strong testimony, our God is righteous, gracious, and just. The multitude seen in the first verse, first proclaimed and afterward confirmed, Hallelujah, glory to our perfectly just Lord. The halls of the eternal kingdom will echo with endless shouts of gratitude, praise, and adoration to our holy, gracious, and patient God. The echo confirms, God is also just in his judgment. He has judged the devil, all evil, and all stubborn rebellion. The martyrs and all the redeemed souls will forever rejoice in the beauty of their garments, Christ's righteousness. This is the garment our heavenly bridegroom granted to his bride, the souls he loves with eternal love. Verses 4 through 6. The 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. A voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. This echo unfolds on and on through the endless. After the masses declare glory to God, the 4 living beings and the elders add their praise with greater manifestation. They fall down before the throne and worship the divine King as they proclaim their Amen and Hallelujah. Although they make one congregation of the blessed and rapturous worshippers, those ordained to be on the 24 seats, and even more so, the 4 beings on and around the throne demonstrate an even greater zeal in adoration of the King of Kings. At that point, a mighty impulse of our Lord's glory and joy in the worship of his beloved family comes from the very throne to accelerate the already high tide of rapture. The Almighty Creator, the Eternal Father, Lord God of Sabaoth, is rejoicing with the world he has created first and redeemed afterward. I tremble in my soul, just speaking of that bliss. Is this the voice of our Heavenly Father, or the voice of our Lord Jesus, or of the Holy Spirit? Is this the voice of the 4 living beings? Is this an expression of our Father's perfect pleasure in his beloved Son, or one more impulse of the Son's perfect adoration of the righteous Father? Is this acceleration of our Creator's satisfaction in the book of Genesis chapter number 1 verse number 31? Very good. I think we are glimpsing into the ultimate meaning of the first epistle to the Corinthians chapter number 2 verse number 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. More than my choicest words, the answer to this voice tells us of the rapture that fills the kingdom, all the citizens, the entire host, and the King. this heavenly tide is as gentle and refreshing as a whisper of the springtime breeze, and as powerful as the numberless host. The delight of the redeemed souls is like dripping of nectar, but the harmony of this multitude forever one in their beloved Lord is as mighty surge of an ocean, a rolling thunder of endless adoration, way beyond the limits of our mind. Is this the blessedness we are resisting with our carnality, vanity, worries, doubts, fears, sectarian misinterpretations, worldly ignorance, and all other ways we help our enemy to mar our fellowship in Christ's Spirit? Can't we keep our awareness of this awesome truth? He delivers us from His just judgment smoke that rises forever. Christ is our Master. Although we cannot grasp the grandeur of our Creator and Savior's glory, majesty, eternal love, and everlasting gospel, He gives us the pretaste of that delight which dispels our stress and lifts us up closer to the blessed throne, that we can join the heavenly harmony with our praise. Hallelujah! Our Lord God omnipotent reigns. Salvation, glory, honor, and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, His mercy and His grace in Christ are measureless.